Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show, everyone. I'm your host, Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. And if you're new to the show, this is the show where we help you build financial intelligence so you can ultimately build financial freedom. And for a lot of people, financial freedom can mean a lot of different things. For our guest today, it means financial freedom means being able to give back in a big, big way. So today we're going to talk about probate and how probate leads can really transform your portfolio, whether it's you're doing wholesaling or if you're thinking about buy and hold, which is what we talk about here on the show, buying a property and holding it for the rest of your life in order to build passive income. Probate can be an incredible tool for you to explode your portfolio. And I have to say, we haven't really talked about probate much here on the show at all. I think if in fact at all, it's only been for me to warn you about setting up your estate properly so your property, when you pass on, doesn't end up in probate so that a judge decides what's best for your property. Wouldn't it be better if you had your estate planned so you have all the proper legal documents in place so your properties can be handed down to your children or otherwise? So that's kind of been the only touch on probate we've really talked about here on the show. But my guest today is Chad Corbett. He's trained thousands of real estate investors and realtors across the country. He's a firm believer in providing value first. He teaches people all about probate, and we've spent it. He's also going to be so kind as to provide a special gift for listeners of our show today when they go to morrisinvest.com/probate. We're going to dive deep into this today. Chad, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here on the show. And of course, you just got back. So before we dive into probate, and I'm really touched by your story because I didn't know this. And you know, one of the reasons you got into real estate investing and to be an entrepreneur is that by the time you turn 40 years old, you want to be able to get out of business completely and give back and help others. And you just returned from Nepal, in a remote area of Nepal that, as you said, like they've never seen a white person before, right? So what were you doing there? What took you to Nepal and how does that relate to what you do in real estate investing?
So I came from, I'll back up to like 2011. At 29, I'd worked myself to the top of resort development industry. And when I really looked above me, I didn't see people that I wanted to be. So I kind of, took my gap year finally and spent several months in the Canadian wilderness just by myself camping, backcountry camping, and fly fishing. And one night, the three rules that I now live my life by came to me. It was always help others more than yourself, always turn a six-figure profit so you can live the way you want to, and always run it from an iPhone so you can capture this moment anytime you want on demand. So I started, when I built my real estate investment business, it was with the, on those three principles. And I've been really careful. I'd say the most valuable lesson is learning what to say no to. But I built it all around that with the intention of having, being in a position where I could give back. And so what I do, the reason I went to Nepal is I'm writing for a couple of magazines. I do photojournalism and I train people to ride adventure motorcycles. So big bikes off road. And so I'm a photographer, a writer, and a rider. And the water was my passion. And I've looked for opportunities to help some of the 663 million people in the world that don't have clean water each day. And this was an opportunity for me to get out there and put my money where my mouth is. Like, so I've been fundraising and I donate personally and corporately to the cause through several different foundations. But this was with Clean Drink Adventures. And we took motorcycles into parts of Nepal that you simply can't access. Villages, 500-600-year-old villages that had never had outside visitors. And these are, you know, they're losing 44,000 kids a year in Nepal to waterborne illness. And right now being one of the worst times because of the monsoon. So we took a very specific solution that was developed by MSR, Mountain Safety Research, out of Seattle. And their engineers came up with a solution that it's essentially, if you've ever looked at a chlorine pool, a saline pool, so you essentially use electricity to turn salt water into chlorine. So it's a really, it's a solution that we can get out there on a motorcycle. We can easily train the school headmasters or community leaders to implement. And it's something that's sustainable. So it's at least a 5-year solution. And we're going back, Nepali people are going back every 30 days to check on it. So unlike some of the NGO solutions where they drop off a pallet of filters and go back to DC, this is, you know, a sustainable solution that's constantly followed up on to make sure it becomes part of their, you know, their culture. So it was a really neat project. I'll write about it later in the year in a couple of different overland and motorcycle magazines. So Traverse magazine is one of them out of Australia. But that was this trip. So I do a lot of things like that with my time now, and real estate investing and is really what allowed me to do that.
Love that.
I like to think I got it right, but I seem to always find pivot points and change things.
Right. Look, you know, and life is a series of not problems, it's a series of challenges. And I think, you know, whatever challenge people are facing right now, Chad, you know, you can be an inspiration to those who, whether it's one to leave 9 to 5 and follow their passion in another way. It doesn't have to be off-roading with motorcycles in Nepal. It can, you know, it can be something totally different. But this is, I think real estate is the vehicle. I think, you know, it's a fantastic vehicle to allow us that freedom, that space to live that life that we want.
For sure.
Yeah. So today, I think we want to talk about probate, because this is an area of your expertise and you train people in this and how to really change their life. And so I'm excited to share this with our audience today. And you're kind enough to be able to give our audience something special. You want to tell them about that first before we dive in?
Yeah. So for me, like, provide value first is really important to me. So rather than pump up a price and play the discount game, I'm willing to give my time. And I think that's the most valuable thing that I have. Excuse me. That's the Nepali dust.
Yeah, Chad said before the show, he said, if I have to hit the mute button, please forgive me because I just got back motorcycling through the Nepali dust. I'm still trying to clear it out of my sinuses. So no worries.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the highest and best freebie that I could give anyone would be just, you know, I'm willing to give you time and we can do a mastermind call just for the Morris Invest audience.
Oh, that's great.
Like, I'm willing to jump in the hot seat and role play or answer any questions you have, share war stories, you know, about deals I've put together. I've done just about everything you can do in the residential real estate space in the probate niche. So I'm happy to lend that expertise to you guys and help you grow your business.
That's wonderful. That's so kind of you. And so, yeah, to take advantage of that, just visit morrisinvest.com/probate. We set up a special page just for that. So only listeners of this show get a chance to do that. So Chad, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Sure. I really appreciate that. All right, let's dive in. So at a high level, what is probate?
It's essentially just the government oversight of settling an estate. And a lot of people think it's about distributing assets. It's more about making sure that taxes and liabilities are paid and then finally distributing assets. So, you know, it's easier to talk about when probate's not required than it is when it is required. the most common exemptions are small estate. So in most states, that means if the total value of the estate is less than $100,000, you can be exempt from probate. Of course, you have to file a petition for that. But the next most common would be if you have a living trust, which just under 5% of Americans currently have a living trust, whether it's revocable or irrevocable. So it's not a real common exemption because not many people like to plan for their own demise in our culture. Other examples would be anytime property passes by contract, like so if a life insurance, pension, anything said if party A dies, party B owns this, that doesn't have to be probated. And then real property if title is held correctly, like as joint tenancy with survivorship, then spouse A can pass away and spouse B gets the property and it does not have to go through probate. Pretty much every other scenario has to go through probate. So the vast majority of Americans will go through this. Kind of some dark facts, but the greatest generation ever, the baby boomers, are now entering that end of life phase. And thankfully, it happened 20 years later than we expected it to. But between now and 2060, you're going to see an exponential increase in the mortality rate of that generation. And because most people aren't planning, that's why most families find themselves in an extremely urgent situation and really need help. They need guidance because they just hadn't thought about it. And then all of a sudden life changes in a heartbeat and now they don't know where to turn. And that's where the opportunity lies for us to really provide value, like real value in the community, and obviously pick up some assets and be paid, because a lot of those folks are looking for a solution quick. Just please get this done, get it off my plate, because they have their lives to deal with too. So it's, you know, probate is a process in most states. It's going to take 6 to 9 months. In most states, you can sell the real estate within the probate before that time. You know, you don't have to wait the whole 9 months to close, but they can sell the real estate and then settle out everything else over that time period. So it's a really great place to help people. Like if you really want to give back, I mean, there's so many ways to make money in real estate. This one is the most rewarding that I've ever found. The most grateful clients, whether I'm wholesaling or buying it or brokering it, they're just the most grateful, pleasant people I've ever worked with. So if you've never done a probate deal, I think you'll be surprised when you do your first couple, just how this became my whole business on the brokerage, the brokerage side and the investment side. I kind of went all in on it once I had done a couple.
Today's episode is brought to you by SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. Now listen, shipping and mailing from your desk has never been simpler than with SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. We started using them last year and it's just been a game changer. For $4.99 a month, you can send envelopes, flats, packages right from your desk and you're back to business in no time. Look, I know we have a lot of small business owners that listen to this show. If you're a new real estate investor, et cetera, it doesn't matter. You're a broker, real estate agent, you need to send a lot of stuff. And that's where SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes comes in. And guess what? For being a listener of this show, the Investing in Real Estate podcast listener, you're going to receive a free 30-day trial just to get started. Check it out. A free 10-pound scale you're also going to get for free. You're going to get a free scale and free 30-day trial just to ensure that you never overpay. So you got to check it out. So you can save time, you can save money on mailing and shipping with SendPro Online. It starts at just $4.99 a month, $4.99. And you can also qualify for special U.S. Postal Service rates for letters and priority shipping, which is so cool. So it kind of locks you into certain rates, which is really cool. You can calculate exact postage online and you have that scale right there. So you can print right from your PC. So that's always one of my big frustrations about going to the post office is dealing with, I don't have the right weight. I don't know how much this is going to weigh. So then I got to wait and take it there and wait in that long line. You don't have to do that anymore. So here's what you do. You go to PB, that's pb.com/Clayton, pb.com/Clayton, like Pitney Bowes, pb.com/Clayton to access this special offer for free 30-day trial, plus that free 10-pound scale just to get started. That's pb.com/Clayton. Experience shipping made simple with a free trial of SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. Thanks, guys.
No, it's incredibly attractive. And I've done a few of them myself. And I should mention, just as a side note, programming note here, because, you know, Chad mentioned something kind of at the beginning there, which was about only like 5% of people, right? Or fewer than 5% of people have a trust set up. Right. And next week here on the show, next Thursday, we're going to have Bruce Mack on the show to talk about living trusts. And to make sure that your assets are protected, and how that, what that whole process looks like. So we thought this would be a good back-to-back episode. So next Thursday, check that out. But why do you think so many people don't have trust set up, Chad?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was sitting in at a Hindu temple in Nepal just a week ago, watching a cremation ceremony, and they have such a healthy view on death there. The family shows up, they wash the body, they stack it in a pile of wood, and they organically cremate them right there on the riverbank and then push the ashes into the river. And for them, that's kind of an exciting thing because they're releasing them to be reborn, right? And I think it's, in my perception of it, it's just a cultural thing. Like, as Americans, we really don't like to look at or plan for our own demise. And I see it in my own family, my friends. And I think it's more of a cultural thing, because right. The reality is probate costs the average estate 4-7% of its gross value. You can set up a living trust cheaper than that, right?
Right, right.
It's not a financial issue. To me, it's more of a cultural issue, where it's just something we don't talk about, we don't look at. And in other countries, like, I mean, you know, look, Mexico has a different viewpoint on it. They have the celebration of, you know, El Dia de los Muertos. And it's, I think it's mainly just cultural. It's something we don't want to talk about.
You're right. We recently had a family friend last year who passed away unexpectedly after a business trip internationally. And it, because things weren't set up properly, just kind of threw the family for a tailspin. And like, this is, you know, upwardly mobile family. And by all intents and purposes, you'd think, man, I'm sure they've got a trust set up. I'm sure everything's, you know, but it wasn't done correctly. It wasn't set up right, I don't think. And it just caused, you know, just caused the survivors of the family just such stress. And like, you don't need that, you know?
So I'm 37 years old. And since 35, I've had an estate plan, a long-term care plan, and life insurance and all that put in place. And it's mainly because I've been behind the curtain helping these families. Like, I've seen what happens and how stressful it can be. And I'd be surprised. I'm interested to know how many in your audience actually have done that, and at what age did they finally do it, and what was the trigger? And if you don't have an estate plan, I encourage you to ask yourself why. Like, why am I willing to put my family in a position like that and cost more money? And, you know, that hard-earned legacy that you have, like, why?
Right, because I think it can be selfish in a lot of ways if you think about it, right? I mean, it's not about you at the end of the day.
For sure.
You know, you're not going to be there. It's for the people that survive you, and how much, what headaches will you, you know, we spend so much time caring for our children. We want to make them in the best schools, the best education, the best food. We want them to eat healthy, not eat processed food and toxic stuff. And we don't want you to do this. We want you to be safe. And then here's one thing that can cause them just such pain and suffering. And you won't do it because you're sort of scared to shine the light on your own mortality, I guess, right?
That's right. And I mean, I've helped tons. You know, the most common personal representative that you help will be a son or daughter. And not only do they have to deal with kind of the devastating emotional blow of losing a parent, and then soccer practice and, you know, potlucks and real life coming at them at full speed, now they've been handed the life, an entire lifetime of assets to unravel and liabilities to unravel, and that you're adding that stress on top of everyday life and the grief that they're going through. And it's just, it puts a lot of people, I call it probate quicksand, because most people just freeze and they just keep sinking deeper and deeper and deeper, and their motivation rises. Like, if I'm being selfish as a real estate investor, they need your help more and more and more every day. And that's why these can be great deals. But I'm more interested in people not being in that situation, especially the folks that are listening here. I mean, we're savvy enough to be having this conversation. Right. Shouldn't we be savvy enough to take that next step and make sure that our family doesn't have to unravel that and go through that?
Right. 100%. I couldn't agree more with you on that. So that's our public service announcement. So make sure you listen next week with that episode so we can dive deeper into setting that up. But now you're helping the families who unfortunately have found themselves in this situation with probate. So from a buy and hold investor perspective, where do I start if I'm looking to find deals like this, and again, we'll have this, if you go to morrisinvest.com/probate, you can sign up and listen to over 600 hours of probate calls that you guys have done to really help people through this. But where do I start? Where do I start to look for probate leads?
So when somebody initiates the probate process, and this is not a law, it's just observed behavior. Most families, so the median number of days nationwide from the date of death until the date of probate filing is 68. So what that tells me is it takes most families about 2 months to kind of emotionally process to the point where they go to the courthouse and kind of put the signal flare up of, okay, world, we're ready to deal with this. At that point, it becomes a matter of public record. You can get access in most courthouses. Some are difficult. Almost every courthouse is different, the way that the methodology, but it's the probate clerk is usually within the county clerk's office. And there you can get the name of the deceased, the name of the attorney, the name of the personal representative, and some addresses. Shameless plug, like I'm one of the co-founders of alltheleads.com, and what we do is all of that for you. So we have live researchers go into courthouses, pull the data that's there, they database it. Then we augment that, add good valid phone numbers for the attorney and for the personal representative, push it into a CRM, and then we handle all the marketing automation for you. We can make your calls. We have trained ISAs, specifically probate ISAs. We have a full service mailhouse and print shop. As we've seen the choke points for investors and brokers, we've kind of automated through those. So we started out just providing data. Then we ended up being a software company, a training company, and really the whole business model of our company was and for the most part determined by our customers' needs. And you know, it's I always say it's easier to steer a moving truck. We got started and then we kind of allowed the customer, we designed toward our customers' needs. So you can do this on your own by going to the county clerk's office, pulling the data, skip tracing on your own, and then setting up your own direct mail systems and you know, call systems and prospecting. Or you can let us do all that and you just do the part you're good at and you love. You can just handle the people part. We'll handle the data. We'll handle the software. We'll handle the marketing fulfillment. And that's what, you know, most of our really successful investors, they sign up, they figure it out, they click autopilot, and then they just go do what they're good at. They take the appointments when their phone rings.
Oh, I love that. No, that's great. So again, we'll have links to that on our website at morrisinvest.com/probate for that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vincero Watches. I'm super excited to share with you. I just got my Vincero watch in the mail, and it is gorgeous. I haven't worn a really nice looking timepiece in a long time. And that's where Vincero comes in, because it won't break the bank for you to get a beautiful timepiece that you can wear with a nice outfit, going to a wedding, going out to dinner with your loved one. You want to wear a nice timepiece. And it's a personal style statement. So when you go to their website, you're going to save a bunch of money actually for listening to today's episode. Just go through and browse. Pick one that matches your style and preference. Maybe you want a gold. Maybe you want a matte black finish like I chose. Maybe you want small, large. It doesn't matter. There's a bunch of different options that you can pick from. Elevate your game with Vincero's handcrafted luxury watches at an unbeatable price. That's where the founders, they said, look, we want to create some affordable watches that are gorgeous. They provide bold timepieces and always put quality above all else. So if you're looking to make a statement or add a staple piece, Vincero has a watch for you. And if you want to change it up, I love this part, all of Vincero's watches, their bands are interchangeable. That's fantastic. So you're not locked into one band style. Vincero offers the best value in the industry with exceptional craftsmanship. And they have over 16,000 five-star reviews. So you want to save 15% right now? You've got to check yours out. Go find one. Maybe you'll pick the one I picked. It's gorgeous. It really fits my wrist really nicely. The black matte finish. Gorgeous, gorgeous timepiece. 15% right now. If you go to VinceroWatches.com and you enter my code at checkout, which is investing. Investing is the code to save 15% off your order with worldwide shipping. And it's always free. So worldwide shipping is free. That's VinceroWatches.com. The promo code is investing. That's VinceRO, VinceroWatches.com. Promo code investing for 15% off and free worldwide shipping. Thanks, Vincero.
what would be, for me as a buy and hold investor, right? I buy properties all over the country. That's what my company does. We help people, you know, get properties. So we're finding probate leads. We're finding all these. There's a big mix of different properties kind of that go through our funnel, right? Everything from, you know, foreclosures to you name it. Probate sits in that bucket as well. Yeah. As a buy and hold investor, how would I approach, once we've kind of gone through that and you said deal with the people, now I'm kind of working with that person. What would a conversation look like as I'm trying to take down this property, buy it myself?
So the aha moment for me came when I learned, so I came from, you know, beachfront, ski front development. I had a lot of experience in real estate, but none in residential. So I went in first as an investor, and when I couldn't buy, then I would try to switch to my realtor hat and get a listing and vice versa. And I just kept stumbling over myself. When I really figured it out, I just became Chad. I removed the title completely and I focused on the people in the situation, and I offered a very broad scope of service. So you already know realtors, contractors, clean out crews, maybe moving companies, estate sale companies, social workers, nursing home employees, people you already know in the community. What we teach is what I figured out to kind of become the hub in the wheel. And each of those positions I just mentioned are spokes. And that gives them 25 reasons to respond to your marketing, to call you off the letter you sent, or to engage with you on the phone. So the approach I take is to not talk about real estate, but focus on the people and the situation when you make contact with the personal representative. Then once you have engagement and you've built rapport, then you've earned the right to talk about real estate. And it's a really easy segue. You know, Mr. Smith, my name's Chad. I've got a team of people here locally that help families going through probate. And as part of that, we go to the courthouse and find out who they are and reach out early because we know how much of a difference we can make. What's been the toughest thing for you so far? And then they start talking. It's an impossible question to not answer, right? So they'll start talking and basically telling you what their pain points are, what's bothering them, what they're struggling with. And this is where being a good listener is 99% of being a good salesperson or negotiator, right? So once you kind of identify their problems, then usually the problems are personal property. So we've got a house full of 60 years of stuff and we don't know what to do with it. Or, you know, we had one just 3 weeks ago, a lady uncovered a portfolio is a primary residence and 11 rental homes, and she got them all. just because she was focused on people and situation, not trying to just focus in on wow. the house. So through the conversation, they found out that, you know, her dad had passed away. He had a portfolio of homes. They were all stabilized in good condition. They didn't want to be landlords. And she was able to pick up that entire portfolio because she focused on people and situation. So that's what's really different. And where, you know, the people that I've trained, I can take a brand new investor that's never done a deal and cut them loose in some of the most competitive markets in the country, like Maricopa, like Phoenix, or Cook County, Illinois, or even Manhattan. We have a lot of stories from there. You can take a brand new guy and he can just, you know, he can outperform the most seasoned investor that has that habit of going after the absentee leads or the, you know, the whatever lead they've been doing, because they go straight for the jugular and talk about me. Here's what I can do. I can close quick. I can use cash. Where with our folks, the approach is we can help with just about anything. What's been the toughest thing for you? And then very quickly, just segue, once you've built trust with that offer, you just very quickly segue to the real estate, because we know Americans hold 80% of their wealth in real estate. So we know that's the biggest part of the estate. But we can build trust by offering to help them with all these other things. And the model that I'm proposing doesn't mean that the investor has to do any more work. You're going to monetize the investor spoke. You're going to refer the listings when you can't buy. You'll refer those to a realtor. You can, you know, bring your contractor, clean out crew, estate sale companies. Those people, you get kind of the social credit for having them organized and the kind of a vertically integrated solution, but they do the work. They contract with the seller. That none of it comes through your books, but you get that perceived value, like, because you're the one that put that team together. Right, and that's right. The big difference. Like, the approach that we take is, it sounds completely different in a letter, on the phone, when you're looking them in the eye. And I just found that was the aha for me, is if I offer everything, then they have every reason to talk to me. If I just talk about being a cash buyer and how many deals I did and how much money I have, then if someone has already been there talking that talk, then I immediately get their reputation, right? So they're like, you're no different than the last guy. And what I found is distancing myself from that really differentiated me and got me into a lot more conversations, and they were very smooth and pleasant conversations versus me feeling like I was untrusted the whole way through it. And we've all done deals like that where you knew the seller just didn't feel good about it. You know, you've gone on that appointment, and I hate that feeling. That energy is just, I don't like it.
Right.
And when I figured this out, that energy just disappeared from my appointments. I showed up and people were excited to meet with me because I had offered so many different, I offer options. And that's the other thing. Like, even if I want to buy that house, like if it's in my prime zip code, I don't have an outcome when I go into the appointment. I have a solution. I can turn it into a rental for them. I can help them flip it. I can wholesale it. I can list it. I can move it to a family member. You name it. I can turn it into an Airbnb. I let their needs determine the course, and I move them in that direction. And what you'll find is the motivated sellers that'll sell a house for 50, 60, 70 cents on a dollar, when you really get down to it and you let them self-select into it, that's where they were headed all along. That's the one solution that works for them. So you don't buy less houses. You just buy the same amount of houses with a hell of a lot more trust and transparency.
I love that. Now, the businessman in me is asking this question. So if you're not going to buy it yourself and you're going to help them set it up as an Airbnb, is it because then you have some sort of an arrangement with the clean out crews or other things? At the end of the day, you're not running a charity here, right? So you still want to be able to provide income for your family as you're going through all these services. How would a person make money setting up an Airbnb for this person or helping them move it to a family member? Again, these are all noble things and you're giving them great solutions, but how does that also help you as the business owner?
So for me, it's all about reciprocity. And I'll try not to get too philosophical here, but I believe if you put value out into the world, it finds its way back to you in multiples. And I have
100%.
I have a lifetime of proof. I can quantify it for myself fairly easily. And that's how I look at this. So when I throw a referral to an estate sale company, I'm not asking for anything in return other than reciprocity. So, you know, you give me an A referral because I gave you one. And the same thing with my registered investment advisors, contractors, clean out crews. So I don't do any kind of commissions or JVs or anything with those folks. They know that they partnered with me and I always do what I say. And I know the same for them. And I know that I send them referrals and I get referrals. And for me, I'm willing to go that extra mile with that provide value first mindset. And maybe my heart's bigger than my brain, but I never have trouble finding a deal. And what I learned when I learned to just offer that generosity openly, what I found is I always attracted deals. I didn't have to go chase anymore. And for me, I've just had enough positive reinforcement that I'm willing to go that extra mile and do those things, introduce them to these people and guide them through it. Because we're talking about, you know, less than an hour of work to show somebody how to turn it into an Airbnb and connect them with your contractors and property managers or, you know, whoever, housekeepers. It's not a whole lot of actual work on my part. It's not a whole lot of my time, but it's a lot of goodwill put out there. And I believe that it always comes back to me. I certainly have a lot of personal proof. So it's easy to, you know, if you're just being a businessman, I get what you're saying. Like you're cautiously optimistic about it, right?
Right. Well, because I know there's a lot of people listening right now who are like, well, I just want to make some money here. I just want to make some money. And how do I, if I'm going to spend, I'm working a 9-to-5 job and then I put all my time into this strategy and then I'm just, I'm going out and helping them set up.
This is where stories come in. There's a gentleman in the Midwest called, his name's Roger. I'll just leave it at that. Roger was in his early 60s, had never made a phone call. He was scared of prospecting, somehow had survived in real estate for several years. He basically took the concept that we're discussing and went out there and applied it in a small town, 35 probates per month. He's now averaging 6 deals a month. And it's because he treated every one of these that way. He was willing to do whatever he could do to help them. And the attorneys are the biggest part of his strategy because they took notice. They took notice when somebody in the community claimed that they were going to do these, like offer to help the family in all these ways that they couldn't because it was non-legal. they looked and they said, you know, is this real? Because it sounds too good to be true, right? Well, now Roger not only gets, he'll get two or three deals off of his 30 leads, but he also gets two, three, four deals a month from his attorneys. They send him all the bankruptcies, all the probates, all the divorces, because they were just shocked that someone was willing to step up and help people at this level and provide this level of service. He was rewarded. He is rewarded with a constant stream of referrals. And that's the second part of what we teach, is really a two-prong approach. So one is marketing. You reach out to the personal representative, the decision maker. But a longer term approach is you build a referral network of probate attorneys, family law attorneys, registered investment advisors, wealth managers, senior moving companies, nursing home employees, all these people that have these conversations, these transitional periods when there's a death or an illness and people have to make changes. When those folks understand that you have this mindset and you have this level of service and this level of value to the families, you have business coming from all directions. And I think the people, you know, for sure, the millionaires that I've worked directly with and watched them become millionaires through this strategy, they all have adopted that mindset. So we have people making, you know, well over $1 million a year, some in brokerage, some as investors, but they all approach it this way. And I've seen that in my own business, and I've been able to, fortunately, see it in thousands of other people's businesses as I train them and get to look behind the curtain and help them build it. And that's the common denominator. Like, the people who really do well with this are the ones that are most empathetic and most focused on the outcome for the family, not themselves. But in return, they make more money than pretty much everyone else because that approach works for them.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, you'll definitely get to understand. I think in all of the deals that I've done and gone out door to door and not door to door, but in all of the deals that I've gone and met with families, you know, you can see that, okay, this family, it would be better served if they sold it on the retail market. And I'm going to connect you with a realtor that can help you, you know. Sure. And you also see the family that, wow, this house needs $80,000 worth of work. You live in Colorado. The house is, you know, in New Jersey. There's no way you're going to be able to do all this work, but we can connect you in these different ways with these different teams that can do it for you. And so you provide those options, and you definitely get to have that relationship with the sellers of the property, because some people, you know, just in certain situations. I remember the first deal I ever did was in Florida, and the property was a mess. And the family flew in from out of state, and their mom had, you know, passed away after 30 years of smoking in this condo. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They were here for like 2 days. They had to get back to work, and we were able to come to an agreement, and I was able to buy the property from them and do all the work myself. And they couldn't have been happier, you know. And I said, look, I'm willing to connect you with my realtor. They're like, no, we don't want to go through showings, and it's a mess. Sure. And so you get to develop those relationships that way, right?
Yeah. And excuse me, like, offering all those multiple options, you know, you can, a lot of people, they want to hear their options. And like I said, they're going to self-select into the one. Like, that story you told is very common. You know, they see that they don't have the time or the money or the energy to put into even selling it as is on MLS, but they still want to hear about it. They like to hear that option. So what I'm proposing is just be prepared and be willing to have those conversations, and you'll get to a level of trust that no one else will. And we've all been on appointments where they're talking to four or five investors just trying to get a number out of you. Like, when it comes down to a number, and I believe in negotiation, when you get down to just stuck on price, it's, you know, it's 50-50 at best. But when you have all these terms and all these other value gambits on the table, the negotiation becomes a lot more fluid, and it becomes, I'm getting stoic here, but what's it look like if it's fun and easy? And by putting this other stuff out there, you introduce more gambits into the conversation. So if you do get hung on price, then you can negotiate on other gambits. And I've just found it to be, I mean, there's dozens of ways I can point to why it's more beneficial than the way I used to do things. And I learned that from, you know, resources like this, from podcasts and YouTube. I went out and tried stuff, but I'm a really introspective person. And after every phone call and every appointment, I look at it and challenge myself. How could you have done better? What could you have done to provide another level of service? And I just slowly kind of had this realization, and I've applied it in vacant houses, absentee, tax liens. I mean, it works. Like, this empathetic approach with offering options with full transparency, it completely changed my business, and it made things fun and easy. So it works in any other, like, if you're thinking, my gosh, this sounds like way too much work. It's really not. It's perceived that way. It's funny. I go on appointments and people are like, where is your office? It must be the size of Walmart. Because in their mind, it's a single vertically integrated company that has all of these services under one roof. And that's what we want from a marketing standpoint. And once we've shown up and we've built rapport, then we can introduce them to the contractor. And they're eventually going to realize he doesn't work for me, but he's a partner with me, right? So it's the idea is to, if you haven't read it, I recommend it. The Blue Ocean Strategy is a great book. I think it was written in 2002 originally, but it's that the value cost trade-off. You don't have to pick one. You can have both. And that's what's known as value innovation. So when you can remove stress and lower cost, but still raise value, that's a true Blue Ocean model. And I've kind of adopted that throughout my whole real estate business.
Oh, I love that. I love it, man. Chad, I feel like I say this occasionally here on the show. My audience knows this, but they can tell, I think, when I have a sort of a heart connection with a guest. And I feel like, you know, you and I would become fast friends. I think our business philosophy sits in the same category. And I really believe that. I know it's hard for people to hear sometimes because, you know, you might be working this 9 to 5 and you're like, look, I'm struggling. I just need to make some money. It's hard. It's very, very hard to think from that place of abundance, right? And when you think from a place of abundance, you don't hold on to money. You don't act from a place of greed. You don't want anything. And when you come from a place of not wanting anything, it's a powerful place to be, because guess what? Then abundance does flow to you. It flows to you in profound ways, in ways you never expected it. And I don't get all introspective here on the show very often, but that's how I live my life. And I'm just touched to hear a business owner like yourself who lives that way as well. So thank you for your kindness and your honesty in this. I think we need this in our world right now. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. So I think it's worth mentioning for the people that do feel that way right now, I'm transparent. Like the year that I figured this out, I was working at a $30 million commercial listing, $28 million cash offer unraveled at the table. I had $17 million in private equity positions of the deals I was underwriting and working on. Every one of them unraveled. And each evening I would come home and I'm like, what are you doing? And the realization for me is I was focusing on the money. I wasn't focusing on, and I obviously had my investors, you know, I was getting them into good deals, but something always happened. And I got the courage to trust what I'm telling you right now. And a lot of people helped me with that. Tony Robbins was a big influence for me, but a lot of different books, a lot of different people that I had met throughout my career, and just observing the most successful people. When I finally trusted the advice that I'm now giving you, that year, my adjusted gross income on my taxes was $2,900. Down from like $250,000 to $2,900. So I was not making money because I was focusing on those big home run private equity deals, and they kept unraveling on me. And when I focused on people and when I focused on value, it just exploded. Like I went, like it was an exponential curve over the next three. I mean, it's still going. And that was it took courage to make that mindset shift and to actually believe it. Because when you're sitting there watching money leave and none come in, it's easy to get cynical and it's easy to go, yeah, that's easy for you to say, dude, I've been there. So, right. You know, I understand your position, and I do challenge you to trust the advice you're hearing because it works. And, you know, I feel more passionate about it now than ever because I've designed my lifestyle the way I want it. And I've been very deliberate about that. And it's because I focused on helping others first that I have this luxury to do this.
Well, I love that. And again, people can learn more about what Chad teaches and obviously get a free hour with Chad as well, which is going to be great. If you just go to morrisinvest.com/probate. So again, that's just MORRIS invest.com/probate. You know, and one sidebar about what you just said there at the end, Chad, I think is powerful. Very often people will say, yeah, you know, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to journal in the morning, and I'm going to live from a place of abundance, right? I don't need anything. And I'm just going to focus on abundance, and that's, and I believe it, right? But what happens is they say that, but the emotional reaction in their body, it does not reflect what they've said.
Right.
And so they're literally living the inverse of what they just said. So they slip back into fear-based thinking. They slip back into anxiety. They slip back into their old routine. And that routine is out of step with their new identity they're trying to create. And I'm reminded of something that I heard recently by James Clear in his book, Atomic Habits, which I highly recommend people pick up. He talks about smokers. You might have two people, one person who is trying to quit, right? They haven't smoked in maybe a few weeks. And the person says, hey, would you like a cigarette? And the person says, no, I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to quit. The other person is asked, would you like to smoke? And the other person who quit maybe 3 weeks ago also says, no, I'm not a smoker. Well, yeah. What's the difference, right? They both stopped smoking 3 weeks ago. One person doesn't believe it though. One person still identifies as a smoker. And I think it's powerful. And I think so if you come from Chad's place of abundance and you really believe that, you've got to live that way, right? And I think you have to line up your identity with that. Am I wrong about that?
No, that's how it was for me. And I mean, I briefly touched and gave Tony Robbins credit. Like the lesson that I learned from Tony, and I mean, you can go sit for 54 hours and I think everybody picks their own lesson out of that but at UPW. But for me, it was understanding that beliefs drive emotions and emotions drive behavior. And if you have a limited belief or even just a bad belief system or even a bad value that's driving that belief, you've got to replace that. And that's like smoking is a great example. So someone like people can quit smoking forever and they can make that decision in a second. And others will try for a lifetime. And the difference is just committing to it and saying, I'm not a smoker. And when you believe in your mind, it changes your values, it changes your belief, which changes your emotions, which changes your behavior, which changes your outcome. And I started small with this and you know, made little changes, but then like the proof was indisputable. So I'm like, well, okay. And I'll tell you something I've done. I didn't, even before I realized, in 2008, I managed closings for over $1 billion worth of pre-sold, pre-construction real estate. And the banks ran for the hills. Nobody would finance condos. So I had to go acquire funding and then become kind of the glue between the developer, the homeowners that had 20% down cash and couldn't get a loan. And then like the real estate brokerage. That was a fascinating. It was almost like a real life think and grow rich. So I was dealing with mainly self-made millionaires and billionaires living in Maui. Most of them were on the mainland. I was living in Maui, but I got the opportunity to get to have some really tough conversations with some super successful people. And a lot of what I believe today and the advice I'm offering you came from those experiences, came from really seeing those men at one of their lowest financial points in their life. When they just didn't know what they were going to do. They had $1 million cash on the table and they were about to lose it because they couldn't get financing. And we were able to get financing and pull those deals together and get that resort built and completed. But a lot of those like really honest, candid conversations happened during that time period, like late 08, early 09. And I every time that I saw a value that I admired in one of those people, or I saw if their value kind of shone a light that was brighter than mine, I'm like, you know what? I want that in my life. And I would basically just borrow, I would replace my value that was, you know, not as good as theirs, or just if that was just an empty hole in my value set, I would be like, you know what? I really like this about that man. And I would kind of take that one little value from each person. And this is, I had that opportunity with probably, you know, to meet like 400 of these people. So I met some amazing humans that have accomplished some amazing things. Some of them are celebrities. You would know who they were if I brought them up. And I was able to kind of borrow the best parts of those people. And during that time, I was, as I said, I'm a very introspective person. I'm always looking at how can I be better? How can I do better and do more for the world I live in? And obviously get compensated for that in the long term, right? And that was a really profound experience for me. And I later realized I had been doing that all along. I had been like basically collecting these good values from great people all along, and it kind of made me who I am. So pay attention to what your values are and how that drive, what your beliefs are and how that's driving your daily behavior. Like, look at the now. Don't, not about how you felt yesterday or how you want to feel tomorrow. How do you feel today? And what belief and value is driving that? And is that really the best one for you? Or is there one that you might borrow from somebody else and replace that with that will change your outcome? And if you just change the trajectory of your mindset a couple of degrees, over time, a couple of degrees can be miles and miles apart from where you would have ended up. And that was something that, you know, it became apparent to me after really a couple of years of really struggling to meet those three principles and build a business that was true to my principles. Once I finally figured it out, it's now it seems easy for me to sit here and tell you, but I've been there, and it took me a long time to kind of realize some of this. And I, like, the reason I'm talking about it today is I just hope that I can shorten that learning curve for you guys.
Wow, that's powerful. And to live the way that Chad lives, which is to provide value first, to make a six-figure income, and to do it all on your iPhone. I love that. Those are words to live by, and how I tried to build my business as well. So if you want to learn more about this, and Chad, I'd love to have you back on the show, man. I think we can I think we could do 20 episodes together with all sorts of different topics around real estate investing and personal growth and development as well. So check out morrisinvest.com/probate to be able to jump on a call with Chad, be able to sign up and learn everything about the probate process and perhaps change your life in the process. I love the way that you do business, my friend. Chad, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's really a privilege.
And thanks to all of you for subscribing and making this a very successful part of my week. This is one of the most important things that I do. And to be able to bring amazing guests like Chad here on the show to you just brings a great warmth to my heart, especially when a guest turns out to be as great as Chad was just now. So thanks to all of you for subscribing and leaving your kind 5-star reviews in the podcast app. Or recommending us on the Overcast app if you're using Overcast, built by my friend Marco Arment. It's a great podcast player if you haven't checked it out. So thank you so much, everyone. We will be back here again on Monday with another episode. And don't forget, next Thursday, we're going to be talking all about trusts here on the show so that we don't have a probate problem in your family. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.